A few weeks ago, I did a survey in an English congregation, surveying the needs and the struggles of congregation members. Among the replies, the 35 out of 47 replies filled in the form, I really appreciate them. The word parents was mentioned 13 times. In the context of needing to spend time to obey parents, worry about the health of parents, not argue and please parents. This is the top four most mentioned need or struggle of the English congregation. If I also include the word family, which was also mentioned 13 times in the 35 survey forms, in the context of needing to avoid disagreement in the family, help each other, spend time, have peace, avoid arguments, be successful in the family, to talk to each other, please, family members. Adding that 13, that will make relationship with parents in the family the top two need or struggle we have in CCCDL English congregation. We all know that family is supposed to be a blessing. But why family can also become a source of frustration and struggles? There are many orphans in this world who really hope that there will be people to adopt them into a family so that they can also experience the love from parents that they did not have because they were being abandoned. So we should feel so blessed that we have family with parents and with children. It is a blessing from God. But how can we experience blessed parent-child relationships in the family instead of frustrations and struggles that we express in the survey form? Since we either have children as parents, or that we are children ourselves, who is not a child of your parents? Or we might be parents in the future with children. So I see that we all need to learn from the Bible, what the Bible has to say about how we can have blessed parent-child relationships in the family. Even if it is not a source of frustration for you in your family, there's peace in your family with your parents or with your children. I think we still should ask ourselves, is this a real, really blessed relationship that God has intended it to be? Maybe there's just no arguments, but does it mean that there is really no intimacy in the parent-child relationship? Is your home some place that you look forward to returning after work or after school because your parents are there, because your children are there? Or is it some place that you hope that, oh no, I'm off from work and I need to be back home again? I'm not sure how you feel about returning back to your family. On a wider scale, family is the basic unit that makes up the church. And family is also the basic unit that ultimately makes up all the nations in the whole world. If the family is broken, guess what? The church will be broken. And if the family is broken, our nations will be broken. And I see that many of the problems of the church and the nations started in the family. The best way for Satan to attack the church and the nations is to attack the church by attacking the family. Attack the nations by corrupting family values in the society. Think about that. Did it ever happen to you that just before you came to church to worship God, you argued with your parents? Or you argued with your children? What was your experience of worship on that Sunday? I think it would be pretty hard for you to immediately come to church to experience peace and joy when you worship God because you are still thinking about the arguments that you have with your parents or your children. So this is a really important issue that I want to share with you, because it means whether you can experience joy and power in your life, not only in the family, because that is the starting point of other aspects of your life, in school, at work, in the society as well. Today from Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 to verse 4 on the slide, we will all learn how we can have blessed parent-child relationships in the family, and we will see four keys of building blessed parent-child relationships, summarized by O-H-A-T. Okay. Okay. The first thing that we'll learn is, it is for children. That's every one of us, okay? Children, listen. Obey parents in the Lord. What does that mean? According to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. See, as children of our parents, we are commanded by God to obey our parents, as long as what our parents ask us to do is not against God. It's not against God's commandment in the Bible. We should obey. That's what in the Lord means. As long as not against the Lord's will, God's will in the Bible. What if there is a conflict in the family? You want to read the Bible, but your parents said, no, you cannot read the Bible because I do not believe in God. Under those situations, we should obey God rather than man. For Acts chapter 5 verse 29 says that Peter and other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than man. When they were prohibited to share the gospel, that's what Peter and the other apostles replied. We must obey God rather than man in those situations that the will of man, even from your parents, are in conflict with, clearly, according to the Bible, the will of God. But if our parents, for example, also ask us to steal, to lie, to cheat, to help to rob, or even murder, what do? We still respect them, but we should gently and respectfully say no and explain that God commanded through the Bible that we should not do those things because there will be severe punishments now and in the future if we do such things. But instead, we should offer to help our parents because they have some needs, that's why they request you to do something that might not even be legal. But it can offer to help them in a way that is not against God's law to meet their needs. I see that in most cases, what our parents ask us to do, they are not wrong. And they are often good for us, and we should obey and do them willingly. Why should we obey and do them willingly? That's the second part of verse 1. For this is right. For this is right. This is the reason. It is because obeying our parents, it is the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. Why do you think obeying our parents is the right thing to do? I thought about four reasons. First, we can learn obedience to authorities, which God set up to maintain order in the family, in the church, school, and other areas in society. Can you imagine what life would be like if there's no authority in the world and people just do whatever they want to do with no restrictions? What would that be like? It's like in church, you just want to do whatever you want to do, no restrictions, no authority, no rules, no regulations. It would be chaotic. It would be terrible. Why are people not going to Mexico now as tourists? Because it's chaotic there. No rules, no regulations, no people willing to follow the authorities there. Second, parents, they have more life experiences and wisdom than we do. Although they might not know the latest technology, fashion, and trends as well as we do, and they might appear to be ignorant. Why are you so ignorant? Don't you know what is hip and cool now? Or they even speak English with strong Chinese accents. Or they might not be able to communicate clearly to you in English, just like you cannot communicate yourself clearly in Chinese. But since they love us, they are willing to share with us the wisdom they have gained in life that is not dependent on the knowledge about technology, fashion, or trends, but experience that they gained that they can teach you some timeless principles that is not even dependent on where you live. These are principles that can help you to live a life without making unnecessary mistakes and causing unnecessary hurts in your life. I believe the wisest person walks in the path of the wise, avoiding unnecessary hurts from mistakes. The foolish people, they will do whatever they want to do, and as a result, they'll make all kinds of mistakes and suffer from their own mistakes. If they can learn from their mistakes, then they become wiser. But the wisest person doesn't even need to go through a mistake and learn it the hard way. So that's why listening, obeying our parents can benefit us. Certainly, do you know how much we owe our parents? We owe our parents. Think about how much they sacrificed for you. To provide you food, shelter, school, recreational activities, medicine when we were sick, and protection from harm since we were little, helpless babies. They were always there for you to protect you. Or otherwise, none of us would have been here healthy, strong, like this. We might have put our fingers in the power outlets and been electrocuted. Or we might have used a knife to stab ourselves if they did not put the knife away from your sight. So, see, because of our parents, we are who we are, and we are healthy, and we have no unnecessary injuries. Fourthly, do you know that we can also learn obedience to God when we obey our parents? And obedience to God is the key to have godly wisdom in our lives so that we can live a righteous life. According to my research, most criminals started their path of crime by disobeying their parents in the family first. If you cannot obey your parents, whom you can see, you cannot obey God, whom you cannot see. If you cannot obey your parents, whom you can see, you cannot obey God, whom you cannot see. So what do we do when our parents ask us to wash the dishes, vacuum the carpet, do our homework, stop playing video games, stop watching TV, or pay attention in church, stop surfing the web, go to bed early and get up early, eat fruit and vegetables and exercise? Say yes. Say yes without even asking questions or arguing with them, because this is the right thing to do. It is good for you. Second, H. Children, we should also honor our parents in the Lord, not just obeying passively, but we should also actively honor and love them. For verse 2, Ephesians 6 says that, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You want to live a life that is joyful, that is well, and that is long? Who wants to just live for 30 years and then just die? We all cherish longevity or being able to live long. But here, this promise is based on a condition that we honor our father and mother, and this is a promise that will be given to those that will honor their father and mother. Why? Why honoring our parents will help us to live a good life in God's eyes and even a long life? It is because when we learn to honor our parents, we have gained discipline and wisdom in the process. And that discipline and wisdom is transferable to other areas of your life that will also be able to honor whoever authority we are under, whether in the church, maybe the deacons, elders, pastors, ministers, or in the school, your school teachers, your principals, your future work, your boss. It will help you if you learn it first from your family by honoring your parents. Then how do we practically honor our parents? How do we express honor and love to our parents? Have you thought about that? Passively, they tell me to do this, I do this. But actively, how do I honor my parents? These are some principles that you can follow. Start by paying attention to your parents. Don't just be so preoccupied with your own life and then don't even care what they are going through. If you pay attention, even though they do not communicate verbally to you, you'll see that their body language sometimes speaks more loudly than their verbal language. If they look exhausted, tell them how much you appreciate their hard work for you and ask, "What I can do to help you, Mom? What I can do to help you, Dad? You're so exhausted, you're so tired already from your work and other burdens in life, taking care of the family. Can I help you?" Maybe you can give your mom or dad a massage on the shoulders to help them to relax. You can do that. What if they look really sad? After they have returned from work, they look very sad to you. What do you do? Give them a hug. Give them a hug and say how much you love them. "Mom, Dad, I love you. Could you share with me what's going on? You look very sad. I really want to share your sorrow." And so just listen to them, what they are going through, and even offer to pray for them. "Mom, Dad, may I pray for you?" We can all pray to God for someone who is in need, especially your mom and dad who loves you so much. What if they look happy, not sad? What do? You can ask them, "What happened, Mom, Dad? You look very excited, you look very happy. I want to share your joy. Tell me about that." And they will be even more joyful after they have shared with you the happy, joyful experience. What if they look really lonely? Lonely, no friends, by themselves. I think you can make coffee or tea or offer them their favorite drink and then say, "Mom, Dad, I want to talk to you. I want to maybe take a walk with you outside. Dad, I know you like playing chess. I would like to play chess with you. Or Dad, I know you like playing ping pong. I would like to play ping pong with you." You can do that. You can be your parents' friends when they are feeling lonely. So all these are things that we can do to honor our parents. In the end, we will benefit for the reasons that I mentioned, and God would bless us. So you'll see that in your life, things will go well as God has intended it, and you will enjoy long life on the earth and be a blessing to many other people. So we learn that we, as children, we should first, what do? As children,
obey
our parents. Second,
honor.
Okay, honor our parents, and we know how to do that. But now, relationship is a two-way street. What should parents do? Some of us here are parents, and some of you would be parents, and most of us will become parents in the future. Parents, A, anger not your children unnecessarily. Don't make them angry unnecessarily, children, parents, okay? Because Ephesians 6:4 says that, fathers, do not exasperate or make them angry unnecessarily. Do not exasperate your children. If you are already parents here, or you will be parents in the future, think about what can you do to cause your children to be unnecessarily angry in the night. We might ask them to do something that is not reasonable. We might want them to fulfill our own dreams. That is not really what they are interested in doing, that they are gifted and passionate in doing. You want to win the Nobel Prize, so you force your kids to study so hard so that maybe they can be a physicist and then win the Nobel Prize for you in the future, but they are really not gifted in physics. Why do you force your kids to be someone who they are not? So, how do we not anger our children? Love our children and ask God for wisdom and explain things in terms the children understand, and let the children agree to the consequences of bad behavior. That's punishment. I will tell you, if you do this, this will happen, and I will do this. Before they even do the wrong thing, do you agree that I should punish you like this? If you do this, yes. Okay, then they do that, take that, they were literally, and they will receive the punishment that they feel is fair. Second, encourage them with reward. Like, if you indeed do what God has given you to do as a student or as a Christian in church, ultimately it's for God, but I want to reward you. In summer, we'll go to Disney World together. Cool? But make sure if you promise your kids to do something, you do it, or otherwise, they will no longer trust you. Okay? So keep your promises to your kids. Indeed, reward them with what they have done well. Now, second, for parents, train our children in the Lord. Train our children in the Lord. For Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 says that, instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. See, besides not training our children unreasonably, that's very passive and a little bit negative, parents should proactively learn and practice the principles and teachings from the Bible themselves, and learn how to love and how to be wise parents to their children. This echoes with Proverbs 22:6. Parents, if you can, memorize this verse. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn away from it. So parents, your main responsibility from God, besides protecting and providing for your kids, is to pay attention and observe your children. To see what are their God-given gifts and passions, and then you should help your children see what they have not seen yet in their future. And then you encourage them and help them to be who God wants them to be, not what you want them to be for you, to fulfill your dreams. If parents have done it right, what will happen is that the kids will be what God wants them to be, and they would continue with the path instead of quitting that in the middle of that, because that's not what God wants them to do, and that's not what they are gifted to do. And that takes enough wisdom. Where can we regain godly wisdom? Prayers. I would suggest that you pray for your children daily. And here I have a parents' daily prayer guide. On Monday, let's see, that's tomorrow, ask the Lord to completely surround your children with emotional, physical, and spiritual protection. After you pray about this, ask God to give you wisdom to actually be a part of what God wants you to do in this, to be your children's emotional, physical, and spiritual protection to you. How about Sunday? Let's see. Pray for and seek blessings for those who are in authority over your children, asking the Lord to give them wisdom and understanding as they instruct your children. That means pray for the pastors of the church, because they are the ones who are teaching your kids. If they do not have the wisdom from God, they cannot train and teach your children according to the way God has designed for them. And they are 7 days. And on the bottom, it actually has this verse: train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Which parent here wants to have a copy of that? I bought that from seminary. While I was in seminary, I knew that one day I would use that. It cost, I think, $1.50 each one. And I'll give it for free, okay? So, let me see. Maybe, James, could you pass it to the one who put up their hand? I'm just preaching here in the English congregation. I'm sure if I go to the Chinese congregation, I will not have enough. See, ultimately, it is God who does the work of helping our children to mature and to walk in God's ways. That's why prayer is so crucial, and how we cooperate with God after we have prayed for our children. By God's power, through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word, we will be able to help train our kids according to God's way, and they will not turn away from it. You would be really sad if you train your kids to be what they are not designed for, and then immediately after they have left home, they do something completely different. They completely leave their initial faith even in God. But to train our children according to God's way, guess what? It requires relationship that you have with your children. If there's no relationship, they most likely will not be willing to listen to you. Children, let me ask you a question. All of us, what's the most memorable experience you had with your parents? The most memorable experience you had with your parents? I can't. Ask a few of you to volunteer. Most memorable experience. Immediately, I have a few experiences that I had with my dad in my mind. Frank, what was that experience? Share with us your joy. Huh?
A good or bad one?
A bad one? I'm talking about a good, memorable, enjoyable experience.
Some vacation.
Some vacation? Okay. Well, anything enjoyable to share that you had, the experience you had with your parents? Anything at all? No good memories? It's nice that tough? See, that's something that parents need to work on. No good memories at all. That's really sad. And even when I was studying really hard in Hong Kong in the most famous high school there, I remember the most memorable times I had with my dad was after the end of the semester, summer or winter break, he would take me to watch a movie by Jackie Chan. Or he would take me to KFC, there's KFC in Hong Kong too, or McDonald's, or my favorite restaurant there. And those seem to be the things that I remember. And we also went to the beach We went swimming, we had another fun, and then after swimming, we had barbecue food, that was really memorable. See, these are the things that parents should know about and should do more with their kids. How do you find out more about your kids? Even to those old-fashioned parents, if you don't have a Facebook account, guess what? Your kids, I believe almost all of them, they have Facebook accounts. So, although it is so hard for you to register for a Facebook account, the computer seems to be something that's so difficult for you to use. Try to set up a Facebook account, but let me advise you not to use Facebook to spy your kids, but to show your love and support to them, befriend them, say words of encouragement. See what they're going through in their mind, offer words of encouragement, not embarrassment. Okay? So, if they enjoy playing video games, have you ever tried to play a video game with your kid? Although, you might be humiliated because you're new family. But that's okay, you know? It's about spending time together. How about if they like football games? Have you ever been to a football game or basketball game or watching them on TV with your kids together? Try to do those out of love. And during the time, you're developing a relationship without even knowing me. And trust is being built, and you can share your wisdom as God leads you to your kids during those times. Yes, David, you have a question? Okay, fishing trip. If you still want to go, tell your dad about that, okay, and do well, and then your dad will reward you with a fishing trip. How about that, or something else? So, but most importantly, don't forget to communicate with each other. Some of us assume that mom, dad, or children, if you love me, then you automatically understand what's in our mind, in my mind. That is not true. Even wife and husband, they are so close, after they have lived for maybe 30 years, you see that there are still things that they don't understand about each other. What they are feeling, people need to communicate. That's why God has given us mouth to communicate our feelings, what's going through. Why do you think this way? Is this what you think? Because of the so-called generation gap, different age. And also because of the cultural differences, belief, it or not, your mom or dad is a real Chinese, and most of us here, the teenagers, we are American, although we look like Chinese. So that's why there are cultural differences that you have to communicate, or don't take it for granted that you understand them. You have to communicate. Is that what you mean, mom or dad? But because of love, you can communicate, and all kinds of misunderstanding can be avoided. I see that the parent-child relationship is a very precious one. And there are only a few years on earth that we can have it. My dad already passed away. I can only enjoy those moments in my memory, that the good times that he spent with me. Once we miss it, we won't have it again. It won't come back again. Our children, you see that they grow up so fast. About 3 years ago when I was here, Frank was still shorter than I am, but now he's much taller than I am. They grow up so fast. So, if you did not have a good relationship with them before the teenage years, it will be harder for you to have a good relationship with them during the teenage years. It's not impossible. And after the teenage years, they'll go to college. Most of us will want to go somewhere else, outside Baton Rouge. If that's what you want, guess what? They will leave home. And you, as parents, will not even be able to see them anymore. In a way, you feel that relationship that you had physically together is no longer there. Maybe until you retire, you're so old that your kids might want to come back home to be with you if they really know what it means to honor their parents. They're willing to come back home to stay with their parents. So while we still have it, let us cherish it. This is a blessing. It is not a curse. If you don't cherish it, it will be gone. And either parents or children. Let us give our best to our parents or our children, because this is the most important relationship you have before you get married. Your parents, your children, that is the closest relationship. And what you can learn from that relationship will benefit you for a lifetime, your relationship with your future husband or wife. Much of that, how you learn to have a good relationship, you learn that through your parent and the child relationship. Let me conclude. How can we have a blessed parent-child relationship? OHEAD. Okay, you remember that. What does O stand for?
Obey.
Okay, children, obey your parents. H?
Honor.
Now, parents. A, anger not your children unnecessarily. And then, the next one, HEAD, right? T. Train them in the way of the Lord so that they will not get away from it when they are old. Let's pray and ask God to help us to be parents or children in the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so blessed because we have mom, we have dad, and for those who are married with kids, they have children. What a wonderful gift from God. And yet, that only lasts for a few years. I just pray that we'll see how precious that is from God, and that we will be willing to indeed to make it what it is meant to be a blessed parent-child relationship, and we will give our best to this relationship for God, and to, as children, that we learn to obey our parents in the Lord, and we learn how to honor them, love them proactively. And as parents, would you help us to not anger our children unnecessarily? And lastly, I pray that you give all parents, including those who would be parents, godly wisdom to train their children in the way of the Lord so that they will not leave that even when they are old. And while we are still young, we are preparing ourselves to be parents who can train our children in the future for God's kingdom. God bless us by studying to bless us in the family first. For this value in the secular world is being corrupted now. And we are the ones who are salt and light to show the world that family is a blessed relationship. And in order to have such a blessed relationship, people must come to God, to trust Christ through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, and through the Holy Word. God will give us wisdom to live out the best plans for our family. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.